This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of Getting Strong. We want to talk about today rep ranges. Rep ranges is one of the most talked about and hotly contested, I guess, training methodologies or training techniques. And I mean, everyone has to do reps, right? So everyone has to pick which range they want to work with. And in the context of getting strong, there are many you can choose from, but there are some that are better than others. But we'll dive into all of that today. Before we jump into it, of course, like good training, you need good supplements. You guys know we only put the best supplements in our body. And I think really how long we've been with True Protein is a testament to how good their supplements are. I mean, if you've had a product for this long of a time, what, 5 years, nearly 6 years at this point, and we've never had an issue with it digestively, we've never had a tainted product, never had a controversy with an athlete, never had any of those issues, you know that this brand is not only ethical, not only moral, but they just make really, really high quality products. So the best part and the best news about for you guys in the US listening to this is it's your opportunity now. They are shipping to the US and you guys can get it. That's great news. I mean, there's not a lot of good news going on in the US right now, but this is fantastic news. So our favorite products, we get the WPA 90, I think it's just the WPI. And I've actually been having Choc Mint recently and it's refreshing. I like the Choc Mint in the morning. It adds a little bit of zest to the smoothie. It's kind of like chewing gum. It's kind of like the feeling of chewing gum after you drink the shake. Sometimes, you know, you drink a shake, you got like the mint aftertaste. Yeah. But the mint, it's like kind of keeps you fresh. So I don't know if
you can do it instead of brushing your teeth, right? Just mint protein powder.
I don't know about that, but it's definitely up there. So if you guys want to check out the full range of supplements with a discount, themindmuscleproject.com/trueprotein. So that's one word, true protein. And then, of course, actually a new partner of the show today. Very excited about. So, as you guys know, we are building a new gym as we speak, but we also have gyms that currently exist. And one of the features of our existing gyms and one of the main features of the new gym, which actually probably for a lot of gyms has been an underutilized, I guess, training tool, training component, and that is sleds, sled tracks. Obviously, I think Julien Pinot back in the day with StrongFit brought sleds a bit more into the mainstream. But if you have an opportunity or you have a facility, probably small group training, one-on-one training, maybe circuit-based training, a sled is an incredible option to have. I tell you what, what I love most about the sled is that it doesn't really require technique. You show someone how to do it once and they can do it and they can get the stimulus that you want out of it. And that's what's amazing. However, traditional sleds, lots of different issues. Feel free to jump in if I miss one. One of the biggest issues is loading a shitload of plates for different people. The swapping of plates back and forth. You know, so right, if you and I want to do a workout, Raf, and you need two less plates than me or two more plates than me, whatever we're doing, it's annoying having to change over, especially you're doing an EMOM, especially like trying to do workouts for time. So the plate changeover is really annoying. Second thing that usually happens, which really annoys me as well, is you have to spin the sleds. Some sleds, like, they only go one way or they only go forward. So like that turning of the sled becomes really annoying, or you have to buy an expensive set of handles for the other side. That's also really annoying. And then probably third thing as well is like a lot of sleds like either just come with one wheel or they come with no wheels. And so you end up being subject to the humidity. If you're pushing it on rubber, you destroy your rubber if it's on a flat surface. Sometimes if you're pushing it on turf, it's all right, but and it rips up your turf a little bit. It just means that you do need turf if you want a sled. But not everyone has turf. They've got rubber in their gym, and sometimes a lot of sleds don't work on rubber. If you clean the floor, if it's dirtier, humidity, it messes up, you know, if you're trying to do like progression on the sled, it definitely messes it up pushing on rubber.
Yeah, and then particularly, I don't remember, but we would take it outside and then we'd take it on the gravel. That would work. Obviously, you get neighbors' complaints, which I've had for years, and you take it back inside the rubber, then it rips up all the rubber.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just a nightmare, because as soon as you find a material that's good enough for it to slide, then it's got other problems.
Yeah. And a company has identified this. This company is Torque. So Torque make incredible sleds. They make the M1, M4, and MX tank sled. Now, this sled was basically designed to be essentially bulletproof. But essentially what is the greatest feature on this sled is it's all on wheels. Wheels with like pumped up tires, not like cheap plastic wheels. So it can go on any surface. It's the same resistance on any surface.
But you could go like off-roading on this.
Anything. It pushes in both directions, so you don't have to spin it, which is absolutely incredible. Third, it's really strong. It's really sturdy. It's like rogue quality build.
It's unbreakable.
It doesn't break. And then fourth, which is my favorite, is it has... The wheels have brakes, variable brakes. So what that means is, all right, let's say we put one plate on and then we push it between the set. If I want more resistance, literally flick of a switch, I go to a higher brake setting, right? So I put more brakes on the wheels and I get that tension, I get that resistance. But maybe I'm doing a workout with Raf, he wants less resistance. He flicks the switch literally in half a second and he gets less resistance. And we haven't had to change over the plate. That is amazing. We're not spinning it. We're not loading plates back and forth throughout the whole workout. And we're on any surface in the gym and it's working the same. Same every single day. So you can have progressive overload. You can build it into a program. You can see when you're getting stronger and when you're not getting stronger. So absolutely love this company. If you guys go to themindmuscleproject.com/talk, you can check out their products and our discount with the products. We're using the M1. So we tried the MX. It is absolutely massive. If you've got a huge gym, I'd definitely recommend the MX. If you've got smaller gyms, you might want the M4 or the M1. But currently, we're both using the M1 and we love it. Yeah. So check it out, themindmuscleproject.com/talk. And that's TORQUE. All right. Let's get into it. Rep ranges. So probably the best place to start is the traditional thinking around rep ranges. And definitely when you and I were learning about strength and conditioning, definitely learning about training, pre-CrossFit era. So we're looking pre-2010, 2011. This is the stuff that we were learning about. So typically what we're being told, and this was like in textbooks, this was in universities, this was on PT courses. It still might be in those institutions. We just haven't checked it for a while. 1 to 5, strength. 6 to 12, hypertrophy, muscle building. And then 12 plus, endurance. That is typically what you're taught. So if it was like, hey, if you're an endurance athlete and you get on a bike and you swim and you whatever, yeah, you don't really need to train anything less than 12 reps. You know, you want to do 25 reps, 30 reps, 15 reps in your squats and your lunges. And then if you were trying to build muscle, so if you're a bodybuilder in the gym, it's always like 6 to 12. Yeah, even like 8 to 12, really. And then it was like, okay, anything, if you want to get strong, if you want to like increase your 1 rep max, you're a powerlifter, if you're a weightlifter, 1 to 5. That is traditionally what we've been told. Now, if you still think that, you are falling for old methods. Nothing wrong with that. Still some truth to it, but there are more advanced ways. We have more science now. We have more research to kind of back up all different rep ranges. So that's our good base. That's our starting point, but it's not the whole picture. Anything you want to add?
No, I think probably what was the most, it's kind of like in cardio as well, where people are like, oh, that's aerobic. And that's just like, you know, and then if you go less than 10 seconds, you get this. But really, it's like you're getting a little bit of everything, but it's what's like the predominant one.
Right.
So 1 to 5 is like, yeah, predominantly strength.
Yeah.
But you're developing all the different facets, right?
Exactly.
Same thing when you go to endurance. Still getting strength, just like what's the most predominant one.
Yeah.
And I think where I made my biggest mistakes with this was just thinking I was getting nothing of the other one.
That's right.
And it was like, okay, no point even thinking about it because that's not what I want.
Yeah.
And that's just not how the body reacts.
Exactly. And so what we'll go through with all these different points today is what you'll see is exactly what Raf said. You know, you'll be prioritizing strength in lower rep ranges, but at some point in the whole context of training, you will miss out on the benefits of other things, which in the grand scheme of a program, which should go over years and years of your life, you'll miss out on your maximal strength gains. So first one to, I guess, account for everything and most important thing is volume. Obviously, with high rep ranges, low rep ranges, medium rep ranges, your total tonnage can change quite a lot, but not necessarily heaps. So for example, if you're doing 12 reps at, say, 50 kilos on the squat, but you do 5 reps at 150 kilos, your total tonnage is going to end up in a similar sort of ballpark, right? So it's interesting because the total tonnage can be fairly similar. So that's how you can, you know, that's the reps times the weight, which gives you the total amount of kilos that you lifted in a session. But you're obviously doing it at very different intensities. One, you're doing lots of reps. It's a lot smoother. It's probably a lot easier. And then one is a lot harder, a lot more intense. So the total tonnage is the same, which I think can confuse people a little bit. But the intensity and the way that you stimulate the body is different. So volume is definitely important. But the main thing to remember with volume is not the whole, like if I just showed you the total tonnage I did in a set, and you wouldn't know if I'm prioritizing strength or if I'm prioritizing more endurance, depending on the rep range here. So I think just to get stuck in a volume conversation when it comes to strength training is like missing the whole picture. And what I'd add to volume is, I think really where it does become important is if you're trying to, one, manage injuries. I think that you can look at total volume depending on what area you're training, but you can, you know, if you're focusing on the 1 to 5 rep range and you're looking at your total volume, as you start to get injured, you might find it's around X amount of volume per week. So that's one really effective way to use it. And then another way is to, if you want to increase hypertrophy, like volume has to go up for you to increase hypertrophy. So if you're noticing you're not really putting on much muscle, your overall volume, regardless of rep range, just might be too low. And so you can bump it up in other ways. If you're prioritizing strength, but you want to increase hypertrophy, which we're going to get to, you can add in, you know, you can add in sets of 12 in your session, even though you're doing triples today. Cool, you need more volume. Cool, let's finish with 3 sets of 10 to 12. You know, and that's a way to get volume up if you want to increase hypertrophy.
Yeah, and I think you got to also take into account there's a total amount of volume. So if you go, hey, I was always doing sets of 15, and now I'm doing sets of 3, you're going to have to do more sets when you start bringing the reps down. You can't keep it exactly the same. You know, yeah. If you're like, hey, I do 3 sets of 15, you get 45 reps in a session, can't just go do 3 sets of 2 and get 6 reps in. Obviously, it's going to work for a while, but generally, as you bring down the number of reps and you go towards more strength rep ranges and the lower ones, then you increase the sets.
Yeah.
You know, it's a general guide. I remember there used to be the strength coach of the New Zealand rugby team, and he would just talk about, I generally want to go for nearly 30 reps. Obviously, it's like very, very general.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, if you're doing sets of 3, you know, it can be up towards 10 sets. If you're doing sets of 10, like, you're probably more around the 3 sets.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, there's heaps of variation in there, but it's something to keep in mind, because I do think that can be a mistake. If you go to the strength rep ranges and you think you can just still stick always with 3 sets, you could be leaving a lot on the table, because that's where, like, we've done lots of programs with 2s and 3s, but it's a lot of sets.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Okay, so next thing would be, we sort of touched on, is hypertrophy. Now, with hypertrophy, which is, you know, another word for building muscle, it is an essential part of getting strong. Now, obviously, there's always, within different weight categories, so in strength sports, say Olympic weightlifting and powerlifting, there are obviously people that are exceptionally strong for their size. And you would say, well, they haven't done much hypertrophy. Maybe, maybe not. It's, everyone's body is different, and how well they put on muscle, how well you stack muscle, is different for everyone. Some people, you know, they are training a lot of volume, they're training hypertrophy, they're eating a lot of calories, and like this sort of just the maximum amount of muscle their body can build, and now that just puts them in a lighter weight class. Not everyone is going to turn out like Liu Xiaojun, where he's like completely shredded, maximum muscle. Some people just don't have those superior genetics, but if you're not focusing on hypertrophy, long-term it will affect how strong you can get. So some people go, all right, well, I don't really need to put on muscle, I'm just going to get as strong as I can for my weight. And I would say that needs to be a concurrent idea with you putting on muscle as well. You need that foundation of muscle tissue over time to get stronger. Now, if you only focus on low rep strength training, like 1 to 3 reps, you will miss hypertrophy. You'll get some hypertrophy, but you'll miss the bulk of where you get hypertrophy, which comes in volume. And it's just really hard to get volume when you're doing 3x3, when you're doing 3x2, when you're doing 3x1. You know, there's just not enough strength, there's not enough volume there, sorry, for your body to start putting on muscle. And that's really what you need. The hypertrophy, that base of muscle tissue, that gives you the potential, right? More muscle equals more potential for strength. So really, I would say, unless you're like really, really gifted in terms of, or you want to stay in a low weight class, or you're really gifted at firing like the maximum amount of muscle fibers, give yourself the best chance by getting as jacked as possible. So I reckon start with a big base of hypertrophy.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you can get this wrong, because you might think, oh, you know, I don't want to get too much heavier, I just want to get stronger. But you can easily, it's very difficult to estimate, if you put on a few kilos of muscle, how much stronger you're going to get. And you might look at it and be like, oh, no, I think, you know, my strength to body weight will get worse. But I think a lot of the time it gets better than what you think.
Yeah.
There's definitely a point of no returns, but most people aren't so jacked that they've hit that.
Yeah.
Most people, you can add a bit of weight of muscle and you add more strength, than so much more strength than what you've added in muscle, that, you know, your strength to body weight has improved.
Yeah, absolutely. And muscle is, you know, muscle is great tissue metabolically. It helps you become more healthy. We've got the research to prove that, you know, with people with more muscle tissue live longer, they have healthier metabolisms, they, you know, process glucose and carbohydrates better. So there is so many more benefits to gaining muscle that I would just, and I don't think anyone listening to this is against gaining muscle anyway, but I think it's just a good reminder that strength training and muscle building are not separate worlds. They should exist, coexist together. And I think a lot of the best strength athletes and powerlifting, bodybuilding athletes have known that for a while. Okay, so next thing, actually not written here, but I thought it was is a good one to bring up. We're kind of touching it, would be intensity. So not intensity in terms of how hard am I pushing myself today, but intensity in the context of percentage on the bar. So that's, you know, 80% is also, you know, sometimes powerlifters and stuff, they call that the intensity of the rep, right? So what percentage you have on the bar. Now, your percentage is usually your percentage of your one rep max. Sometimes it can be the, your percentage of your five rep max or percentage of your 10 rep max. But generally, when most percentages are written in programs, now our programs have some percentage work in there, but we like to use RP as well. But in terms of percentage on the bar, I think that's also important because when it comes to, say we're doing a five by five, right? Now we could do five by five at say 85% if one rep max. That is going to be absolutely pushing your five by five to the max. That is a serious five by five. Those 25 reps, some of the hardest 25 reps you'll do in a strength training program if your one rep max is correct. Like if you see that percentage and you've got five by five, you know, like any good lifter knows, oh my God, here we go. Like today is going to be rough. If you see five by five at 75%, you go, oh, okay, cool. It's like a volume accumulation day. But what I would add to that is what you were talking about earlier is you can do 10 by five at say 65%, right? So you can take the weight way back. You can accumulate a ton of volume, but you can stay in a strength rep range. So you can do the volume you would have done at 10 reps and that percentage, but you can do it with more sets and less reps. Now, this was a technique that we went over with the Irish guy, or maybe you're Scottish.
Yeah, from A12.
A12.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing 12. His name will come to us. I've forgotten. But
Paul McElroy?
Yes, Paul McElroy. Good one. So Paul was on the show maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, and his technique for getting people strong is the same volume you would do in a hypertrophy session, so in a 6 to 12 rep range, but with your strength really high, so say if you're to your 7 or 8 rep max, but you would be doing it for only 2 or 3 reps. But you would be doing it, say, instead of doing 3 by 8 at your 8 rep max or your 7 rep max, you'd be doing 10 by 3. So you would reverse it. So you'd do a ton of sets, heaps of rest in between, at a really heavy weight, but something that you can manage quite easily. And that was, like when I mixed that into my training, I did that for a while. You know, granted, it's a little bit boring, it's a little bit repetitive, but you get some serious, serious gains on that. Like it's,
yeah. And because they're low rep sets, right?
Yeah, but you get the feel of that heavy weight on your back, but you're never taking the reps anywhere close to failure.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that was a good lesson there, is that, you know, reps don't really matter that much. It's just how you manipulate it over the sets.
Yeah, and I think, you know, something else important, we've had this couple on the show before, is if you are getting strong, like you do have to lift heavy. And I've shown that so many times, but it's like unless you're lifting over 75% or 80% of your max at some point, you're not really doing strength training.
Yeah.
You know, like you can be doing lots of other stuff that will help you with your strength training for sure. But you do have to, like there's no way getting around it. Your body's not going to get super strong if you always stay light on the weights.
Yeah.
It's like the number, you know, it's obviously the most number one thing that you'll see across every single program is you got to have that time in the heavier intensities. And that could be something even I would find maybe we're doing more of the CrossFit training I could fall into. You'd be like, ah, oh, you used to do heaps of stuff in maybe that like 50 to 75% range of your lifting.
Yeah.
Obviously, weightlifting is kind of an exception because you're working on the technique. But for most of your lifts, say like your big lifts like squats and deadlifts, there would be a lot of time where, oh, you might have got a really long time without lifting 80% or over on your lifting because you're doing that sort of program. And yeah, don't expect to get super strong if you're not ever pushing the higher intensities.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good segue into the next point, which is novelty. I think that if you are stuck with the belief, you're like, I only want to get strong or I only want to get jacked, and so I'm only going to stick to these rep ranges, you miss the novelty effect. Now, the novelty effect, I still think, is one of the most underrated effects in training. It's why when people go from, I've only ever done bodybuilding for the last 10 years, and they step into a CrossFit gym because they're bored and they want to try something different, they start doing 30 reps, 45 reps, 50 reps in a workout, they start getting all this, making all this progress, making all these gains. And that's because of the novelty. They go, it's crazy. I haven't been sore from pull-ups in ages. And it goes, well, you just haven't done, you haven't tried to bang out 21 pull-ups in a workout under fatigue mixed in with rowing. Like there's so much novelty
here.
Your
biggest novelty is going from eights to nines.
Yeah, exactly. Adding an extra set and slowing the tempo down. So the novelty effect that you get from mixing training cycles, you know, in a in the correct way, in a periodized way over many years, is a great way to keep your body responding and not getting used to just the same reps over and over and over again. Because the body's an adaptation machine, right? And so you want to keep forcing the adaptation. Now, there's an art to it. There's definitely, you can't just, you know, go full CrossFit and do a different workout every single day and just write up whatever you feel like. There needs, it needs to follow periodization. It needs to have that balance throughout the years or throughout the months in your training cycle. And so you have to be careful with novelty, but when done correctly, it's just a great way to keep stimulating the body, moving from endurance rep ranges into hypertrophy rep ranges, into strength rep ranges, or mixing it all together. Mix it all together in the right way so that you continually make progress over time. And I just really love the novelty effect, because also I think mentally it's good. It gives you good stimulation as well. After a while, you get sick of 2-3 reps, 4-5 reps. You know, all of a sudden 12 reps excites you. And then after a while, you know, 8 to 12 reps is not exciting anymore. Maybe you want to go up. It's like, cool, let's do some like 25, 30 reps. Let's really like get into the pain cave. And then maybe that gets boring. You're like, I don't want to go into the pain cave today. I want to move back down to the heavy stuff. So mentally, I think it's really good stimulation as well, having a good program with plenty of novelty. And I think that's why we get the stickiness with our programs, is because we have so much variety in the training techniques.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's why you see, I don't know if you remember, we got that guest coming on soon, Chad Wesley Smith. And he was like setting a record. I can't remember what it was, but he was setting a record. It was something like
500 pounds to 20 reps or something.
Yeah, it was something stupid like that, right? 500 pounds to like 500 reps. I don't know what it was, but it was so many reps. And yeah, he's way outside his rep ranges, right? But I think for those super advanced guys, it's like always just trying to increase your 1RM is, you know, it's like it might be a 3-year process for those guys to put a few kilos on it. So you start going for some different rep ranges and you get some pretty crazy adaptations. The weight is still heavy, so it still is like strength training, but yeah, trying to push your 20RM for a while, 30RM, like it's going to be such a different stimulus, and then you can come back maybe to more traditional strength training after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so next one is, so I feel like all the techniques we've spoken about up until this point gets you most of the way there for most of your training. Now, eventually you do reach a point at sort of, I think, north of the 10-year mark, 15-year mark, where you start looking into some more advanced training techniques. It doesn't mean that you can't use these techniques earlier on. I just think they're just not necessary. But depending on who you are, depending on how you like to lift, you may want to introduce them at the beginning. I have no issue with that. I just think that you certainly need them right now.
Yeah, I think the key is like you can do some of them. I think probably you get into trouble is when you're young and with your lifting and you're doing all of them.
Yeah.
So every single set is some crazy thing. It's like, oh, well, maybe just do one of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of these things, and we've thrown all of them into our programs just because, you know, there are quite advanced lifters listening to this and doing our programs. So the first one is cluster sets. So a cluster set is basically where you take, say, a weight that you can do for 5 reps. Let's just say bench press, 100 kilos for 5 reps is what you can do. It's your 5 rep max. Now, if you were to do a set of 5, you would just manage the last rep and you'd be absolutely cooked, right? But instead, what a cluster set does is it breaks up those 5 reps, or it might even break up less of the reps. And what it does, it uses a work rest scenario. So what you would do instead, what a cluster set might look like, is the set might be like 2.2.2. So you're doing 6 reps of your 5 rep max, but where the dot is, you rest 30 seconds with the bar and the rack. So what you would do is you'd unrack the bar, you do 2 reps, you'd rack the bar, sit up, you'd wait 20 to 30 seconds. So really short rest, go back down, you do it again. 2 reps, rack the bar, last set, take it out, 2 reps. Okay, so now, because you never push into the 3, 4, 5, which is obviously where that fatigue kicks in, and you're adding in that little bit of rest, it allows you to do 6 reps of your 5 rep max in not too different of a time domain. I mean, obviously, you've got about an extra minute in there, and maybe with the racking and unracking, another 30 seconds. So it's about a 90 seconds more. But in the context of hitting your max, you can do 4 or 5 sets of that. You could only do 1 set of your 5 rep max there. So it's a really advanced training technique to get a lot of strength training in, a lot of intensity in, a lot of volume in with a really high percentage of your weight.
Yeah, we used to use it at times where maybe you don't have time for a long strength cycle.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty intense. So you can't do this all year. You don't want to run clusters for a 12-month cycle.
No.
Because it's super intense. Because obviously you're doing like your 5 rep max for 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Right? So it gets you strong. Well, I found that it gets you strong very, very quickly. But it can burn you out. So it might be like, oh, you know, I've got 3 or 4 weeks now just to get as strong as I possibly can before something. Perfect.
Yeah. It's more like a peaking technique in many ways. Okay, so those are clusters. The next one is tempo. Obviously, yeah, like you were talking about, some things that you might add in earlier on. I think tempo is definitely probably one of those ones that you'd add very early on. I guess where you would, or where tempo becomes more advanced, I guess, is where you're doing some tempo in all points of a rep. So it'd be not just the way down. I feel like beginners are learning the eccentric to control the weight, teach their brain the technique. But more advanced techniques is, you know, long pauses, really slow concentrics as well, pauses at the top. It's just a great way to do the same reps with similar weights, or even to take weights back, but get a really good stimulus as well. So maybe you want to stick to fives. Maybe you want to, you know, stick to a similar weight percentage, somewhere between 60 and 80%. Tempo is just a really good way of overloading it. It's a great technique that everyone discovered in lockdown, right? How am I going to make air squats harder? I'll slow them down a lot. You know, I'm going to go down for 5 seconds. I'm going to pause 5 seconds. I'm going to go up for 5 seconds. 20 reps is going to be really hard if you do that. So it's a great way to get a lot of time under tension. Yeah, and it's just, I think, just a really good way to make sure that you're, you know, not overloading the body with just heavier and heavier weights all the time.
Yeah, tempos are unbelievably good for strength training. Because the reps are low, tempos kind of make often more sense. If you're doing like 15, 20 reps, tempos... You can do them, but it just makes the set very, very long, yeah. Right? But for 1 to 5 reps, unreal, so good. And I just find with strength training, usually where I will go off course, it'll be where the weights are getting heavy and maybe my reps are getting worse and worse quality. Like I'm starting to maybe bounce off my chest or I'm rushing the way down on my squats just to keep up with the weights in the program. So having tempos generally just keeps me like safer and healthier during a strength cycle because it's just that limiter on the program. Yeah. You know, you maybe take a bit of the weight off and you're just a bit more sensible about how you do it. So that's why, like, even when you're pretty advanced with it, I think it can just keep your strength cycle better quality.
Man, the king of tempo, gymnasts.
Without talking about it, right? They just keep a tempo to their lifting.
Yeah.
Very rarely, unless you're, like, really trying to crank it up for something, very rarely will I have free tempos for my strength training. Yeah. Most of the time, there's at least some tempo in there as a limiter.
Generally, I'd say the more tempo you disregard, the more likely you are to sort of, and not really injure yourself, but not get the technique perfect. And that's why gymnasts love tempo, like you said, without really thinking about it, is because the slower they make it, the more time they have to perfect the technique. So really, I think tempo and technique go really tightly hand in hand. Okay, so the final advanced training technique, on top of clusters and tempos, is accommodating resistance. Now, I've talked about this before. This is bands, this is chains. What else could it be? Could it be boards? I guess that's limited range of motion.
Yeah, pretty much that's it. I think there's like weight releases and shit where you go down and drop off, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Most people will use chains and bands. Yeah. And, you know, these are great ways to change the strength curve?
Yes.
Yeah, the strength curve, which is basically where, you know, obviously at the top of a squat, the lockout is the easiest part, right? Because you pretty much made it all the way up. Now all you're going to do is push your hips through. Adding bands to the bar, which are anchored to the floor, makes that now one of the hardest parts of the lift. So it's just a great way to change the stimulus. And this is one of the most advanced training techniques. I wouldn't really be adding this in until, you're really 7-8 years into a consistent lifting career, because this is where things really start to plateau. And, it's like me, my bench press, I really couldn't get it past like 110, 115. Added accommodating resistance, obviously, in that bench cycle that I did, got up to 140. So I'm not crediting the whole thing to it, but it definitely played a part. It's definitely an essential tool. And you've got to use them consistently. You can't just throw bands on every now and then and chains on every now and then for an Instagram video. It has to be written into the program correctly. It has to have progression. You have to use it consistently for it to work.
Yeah, I think there was probably a period with these where they got very overrated because all the powerlifters were like using suits and stuff, right? So they're using like this weightlifting. They're not that popular anymore, but the powerlifting suits. And then using the bands and change was like essential because those suits changed the strength curve.
Yeah.
So using the bands was like the critical way to, you know, get better at the sport, but it made everyone think like, oh, it's just how all strong people train with it.
Right.
Now that you don't really wear powerlifting suits or raw lifting is more popular, you see that they don't use accommodating resistance nearly as much.
Yeah.
So I do think they were probably overrated for a period. You know, it depends on the lift. I think bench works well. I think something like squat, you probably almost never need it. You can do it if you want, but just because it's like makes the lift so challenging from a technique point of view. I don't know if you've tried banded squats, but when they're pulling the bar down on you hard,
it is
like difficult. Like you get thrown.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get thrown forward and back very, very easily. So I think that I would be pretty careful on what I'd do it for and maybe just not go crazy with it. Also, when they pull down the eccentric really hard, it can make you really sore as well. So you just got to keep in mind that it's like a pretty big strain on the body.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then the last thing we've got here is specificity. Now, was this... Did you want to talk specifically about this?
Yeah, I think when it comes to strength, it's one of the most important principles, which is really like you just get strong at the exact thing that you're doing. So if you're looking to get strong in a particular lift, like, yeah, you can do all the accessories, you can do everything like that, but really you just need to do the lift. And I think you'd be astonished at how specific strength training can be. Like, you can see that even with guys that like just, maybe they like just do barbell training, and then you throw them into any sort of like strongman or different thing and they suck, right? Just because the grip, same muscles, just the grip is different now.
Yeah.
Your body is like, it's like, you know, it's one of the number one principles of strength training. So if you're looking to get all round strong, you've got to vary up a lot of the type of training you do. If you're trying to get very strong in a particular lift, you have to do that lift over and over and over again.
Yeah. Look, I can tell you from experience, a good example is the pursuit of getting a really good handstand didn't necessarily make my shoulder press any stronger, right? When I took all that training out to focus solely on handstands and handstand positioning and handstand strength, I got way better at handstands. But did I get better at handstand push-ups? Not really. Did I get better at overhead press? Not really.
Which is amazing because they're so similar.
Exactly.
You know, and there's some carryover, but particularly at the higher levels, it's all about specificity.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of people that have great handstands and they have awful pressing strength. That you need a variety of all stuff if you want to be well-rounded strong, you know? And that's why CrossFitters do so well. It's because they're doing everything. They're doing powerlifting, they're doing Olympic weightlifting, they're doing gymnastics, they're doing strongman, they're incorporating everything, so...
And similar, I think, with like the strongman athletes.
Yeah.
Those dudes are just so strong because they do everything. They're strong in the gym, but half the time is like out of the gym.
Yeah.
You know, and they just can rip apart anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Rip up phone books. Like, yeah. Yeah, they have that well-rounded strength. So there's a lot that goes into it, but hopefully we've shed some light on the rep ranges and how really all rep ranges can work. And you just need it in the context of the correct program. So again, I'll go over it. So we've got your traditional rep ranges, which are 1 to 5 is strength, 6 to 12 is bodybuilding hypertrophy, 12 plus is endurance. You've got to consider volume. You've got to consider hypertrophy, muscle building as a foundation for strength. You've got to consider novelty, so mixing it up enough but not too often. Advanced training techniques, clusters, tempos, accommodating resistance, and then lastly, specificity, which is, you know, getting really strong at certain things versus not getting strong at other things. Guys, we take care of this for you in our strength training program. So that is the Strong program, Project Strong. Now, Raf's still on Project Strong. He's been cycling it for a long time. I think quite a few people of the subscribers are on Project Strong. It is 30% off until the end of February. So if getting strong is your focus, you know, we really put an emphasis on the barbell in this program. So the deadlift, the bench press, overhead press, and the squat. If you want to improve those lifts, and obviously they are the big four lifts, so they're going to carry over to a lot of things. There's hypertrophy built into it as well, so you will gain muscle on this program. But yeah, the focus is getting strong. It's 30% off. The mindmuscleproject.com/strong, and strong 30 is the code when you go there. So strong 30, one word. So type that in, strong 30 when you get to that page, and you'll get 30% off that program only until the end of Feb. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to the mindmuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.